Praise the Lord. All righty. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to read some verses here, about five verses here in 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 1 says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." We'll skip down to verse 12. Jehoshaphat gathers everybody together and he leads them in prayer. And this is the end of his prayer, the last part of his prayer. He says, "O our God, will you not judge them?" Talking about the enemies coming against them. "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." So we've been in a series the last few weeks called, I guess you could call it the What to Do series. We talked about for 2 weeks, our messages were what to do when life doesn't turn out like you planned. And then we talked about last week what to do when Satan attacks. Well, today's message is what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. And King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, as we read here, they were facing an attack of overwhelming proportions. There were three enemies of theirs that had allied together to make one huge army to attack them, and they were on the way. The scouts had come back and reported and said, they're coming against you, and they are in En-Gedi, which is not far away. I've been there before. I guess we'll be going back. En-Gedi is not far away. Jehoshaphat feared, it says, and he set himself to seek the Lord. He called the people of Judah together, and he says, "Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do." Jehoshaphat admitted that to God in prayer. "Lord, I don't know what to do." Have you ever faced a situation, or maybe you're in one now, and you say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." Well, we're going to help you through the Word of God today to find out what to do when you don't know what to do. Hallelujah. And so Jehoshaphat had admitted that. He said, "Lord, we don't know what to do." But he had already acted wisely. He had already done a couple of things here. So what do we do when we're faced with a situation that we don't know what to do? Number one is this. We find it in verse 4. It says, "Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord." So number one today is this. When you don't know what to do, ask help from the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. James wrote and said, "We have not." Why? Because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. God wants to help us in every situation, in every circumstance that we face, but we have to ask Him. So, well, why is that? Why doesn't He just help me? Well, He has to have an invitation. We could do a whole study and a whole teaching on that, but God has to have an invitation into our lives. He has to be invited in. When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan became the god of this world, and God was basically locked out. And the only way He can come in is when He's invited in. And it's prayer that invites Him in. It's prayer that gives Him an invitation. It's when we ask Him to help that He can say, "I'm so glad you asked." And He can come in and help us. So ask Him. Amen. Prayer gives God an invitation to work in our behalf. So ask Him to help you. They asked help from the Lord. They said, "Lord, help. Help. Help us." Amen. And then it says, they came together from all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. They came to seek the Lord. That's in verse 4 as well. They came to seek the Lord. Well, this is not the same as asking for help. We ask for help, but then we seek Him and say, "Well, what's the difference, Pastor?" Well, in asking help, you're telling God what you need. In seeking the Lord, you're awaiting and you're listening for His guidance, for His counsel, for His wisdom, for His solution to your problem. That's seeking the Lord. You're saying, okay, Lord, I'm trusting You to speak to me. I'm trusting You to guide me. I'm trusting You to reveal to me what I need to do. Amen? Amen. So there's two parts to it. We ask Him to help, but then we seek Him. And we open ourselves up and say, Lord, please show me if there's anything I need to be doing, anything I need to change. Show me what I need to do. You know, many times He'll do that. Many times He'll show you what you need to do. Yeah. And we could give 1,000 examples there, but listen to that and trust Him to guide you and to lead you, to prompt you. Amen?
Amen.
And then number three, Jehoshaphat said this. He says in verse 12, he says, we do not know what to do, but what? Our eyes are upon You. So number three, number one was ask help from the Lord. Number two, seek the Lord. Number three, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your, when you don't know what to do, when you're in a situation and you just don't know, you feel powerless. He says, we have no power against this great multitude. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are on You. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Well, that's a nice saying, but practically, how do we do that? Has anybody here ever seen God physically? Bible says that nobody has. So if you raise your hand, something's up here. The Bible says no man. John said no man has seen God at any time. Physically, you've not seen Him, all right? I know visions. People can have visions. I understand that, and I believe in that. Amen? But most of us have never seen God physically. So how do I keep, if I've not seen Him physically, what does it mean to keep my eyes on Him? Well, He's not talking about our physical eyes. He's talking about our eyes of faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We keep our eyes on Him by looking to His Word. Now, physically, we can keep our eyes on Him by keeping our eyes on this Word. By keeping our eyes, because God is everything the Word says He is. In fact, Jesus is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen?
Amen.
In Revelation, it says He has a name written, and His name is called the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we keep our eyes on Him by looking to His Word and by looking to His promise. See, they could have easily, the children of Judah here, in this situation, they could have easily turned their eyes to look at that great multitude that was coming against them. And they could have fixated their eyes, their mind, their attention upon that enemy and easily been filled with panic and fear and dread, right?
Yes.
But you know, so, well, they should not have done that. They should have trusted in God. Well, that's easy for you to say because you've read the story and you know it turns out right. But what about your life? What about you? Amen?
Amen.
See, this is for you and me today.
Amen.
See, because we're tempted to do the same thing. When we're in a situation where we don't know what to do, it's easy for us to get our eyes on the circumstances and get our mind and our thoughts on the circumstances and to begin to fixate on that and worry and fear about all that. But you know what? Your story's already been written too. And guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what? It turns out all right. It turns out all right.
Amen.
Amen. All the days, the psalmist said in Psalm 139, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. I'm telling you, in the book of God about your life, your story turns out good.
Amen.
And whatever situation you're in today, there is a chapter in there that God's already got written, and it turns out with deliverance and victory.
Amen.
So how do you know that, Pastor? Because I know what Jesus has already done. Because I know that he's already in His death and resurrection, the shedding of His blood, He's already made every provision for us to live in victory in every area of our life. And the Bible says in Hebrews that He's always living to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. He's able to save us completely, forever, perfectly, and for all time. Because He's making intercession for us right now at the right hand of the Father. So I'm telling you, your story, whatever situation you're in, it ends up good. It turns out good. Believe that. Amen.
That's right.
Remember when Peter walked on the water? Remember that story in the Bible? The disciples were out on the sea. There was a storm. Jesus comes walking to them on the water, and they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "Fear not, it's me." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Peter jumps out of the boat, and he's walking on the water to meet Jesus. Jesus is walking on the water. They're meeting on the water, walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water. Jesus is walking on the water. A miracle is in progress here and in process. Then the Bible says, but then Peter began to see that the wind and the waves were boisterous. What did he do? He took his eyes off Jesus. I mean, the wind and waves were going, and he was walking on the water. Besides that, what do wind and waves have to do with a person being able to walk on the water? If you think it does, I mean, it's a pretty calm day. We'll take you down to Lake Lanier, right? You know, that we can, many access points close by here. We'll drop you off, and we'll just see if you can do it on a calm day. If wind and waves have anything to, the reason Peter couldn't do it is because the winds and what? No, it has nothing to do with it. The circumstances have nothing to do with your victory. If you and I, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus by keeping our eyes on His Word. Amen? When you don't know what to do, keep your eyes on God by keeping your eyes on the Word of God, and keep doing what you know to do from God's Word. Here's an example. If your finances are being attacked, don't stop tithing. Don't stop tithing at that time. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Why? Because he'll get you in a downward spiral if he gets you off the Word of God. The Bible says that he comes to try to steal the Word of God. In the parable of the sower, he wants to steal that Word that you're beginning to act on. Because if he can do that, if he can get you off that Word, then he knows he's got you. So don't stop. Amen? Whatever area that he's attacking you in, don't back away in that area. Double down on it. Amen. Keep reading the Word daily. That's where your answer is going to come from. That's what's going to keep your faith strong. Amen? So then as the people gathered together there, Jehoshaphat and the people, to seek the Lord, the Spirit of God came on one of them. I would give you his name and his ancestry because the Bible tells us that. Jehaziel, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. So, I mean, it tells his daddy, his granddaddy, and his great-granddaddy are. Amen. All right? I thought about maybe from here on every Sunday when I start preaching, I'll say, "Hi, this is David Harris. I'm the son of so-and-so, and give my genealogy for a few generations here." All right. Anyway, this Spirit of God came on this guy, and he prophesied to them. And here's one part of what he said, verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Woo! That's some good news. When you don't know what to do, point number four is this: don't be afraid or dismayed. Why? The battle belongs to God. The devil wants to get you into fear, into panic. The devil wants you to be dismayed. And then you really will make the wrong decision. If you're making a decision out of fear, if you're making a decision out of panic, if you're making, dismayed means broken down by confusion. Yeah, that goes along with not knowing what to do, being confused, right? Well, you cannot know what to do, but you don't have to be broken down by confusion and make a decision in that confused state. Amen? So don't do that. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Amen. That will cause us to fall right into the trap Satan has for us. Do we truly believe? God said to them, he says, the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Ask yourself this. Do I truly believe that God will fight my battles for me? Amen. Do I truly believe that he loves me that much to fight my battles? Dexter Yeager discovered that God would fight it, that God loved him enough to fight his battles for him. That's who Barbara was talking about earlier. Amen. He believed that God would loved him enough that he wouldn't just do it for these people in the Bible, but he loved him just as much. In fact, Judah, this is Old Covenant. They're God's servants. We're God's sons and daughters today. Do you believe God loves His sons and daughters enough to fight their battles for them when the enemy attacks them?
Yes.
When the enemy attacks us? When the enemy attacks you, do you believe God loves you enough to fight your battles?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So in the case of Jehoshaphat and Judah, God spoke to them, told them what to do, and they obeyed that. And then they did something quite remarkable. Let's read it in verse 20. So they rose early in the morning. Well, that wasn't the remarkable thing. You're a little slow on the draw there, Grayson. Let's get verse 20. You foiled my punchline there. 2 Chronicles 20:20. We got that one? The computer is a little bit contrary to with us today. It's trying to just lay your hands on it and cast that devil out of it. There we go. See, you did it. Here we go. So they rose early in the morning. That was not the remarkable thing they did. That might be remarkable for some of y'all, but hallelujah. But we're going to get to it. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper."
Amen.
The New Living Translation says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm."
Amen.
Glory to God. When you don't know what to do, make sure you're believing God. Make sure you're believing his word, because you're going to be able to stand firm. Amen. So in verse 21... And when he, that's the king, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, did you get that? We kind of read through it quickly. But look at this. They've got the army ready, but they said, "Guys, here's what we're going to do. I want all the singers." They were way back in the back. They said, "Yeah, we're going to be praying for y'all, army, as you go out there. We're going to be praying. We're going to be singing back here, singing in our safe spot as you, army, go out before the people. We're going to be in our safe spot back here." Jehoshaphat said, "No, you know what I think God wants us to do, guys? I think he wants y'all to go first." Wait, what?
Yeah.
And so the singers went out and got in line in front of the army. They shut their eyes and went, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever." Are we being hit yet? Praise the Lord. And the praisers went out ahead of the army. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So number five is this. When you don't know what to do, praise God. Just praise God. You can do that, right? You can do that. "Well, I don't know what to do." Well, praise God. That's something for you to do. Praise God. When you don't know what to do, praise God. Praise God. Well, he's not worked in this situation. Well, praise him for who he is. Praise him in faith because he is good. And because his mercy does endure. That's what they started singing. Praise the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. You know, that song always brings God on the scene. We see that particular song being repeated throughout the scripture at the dedication of the temple. When they sang that song, the Bible says that the glory of God came and filled the house of God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God always comes on the scene when we talk about his goodness and we talk about his mercy enduring forever. And when we praise him, hallelujah. And so verse 22 says, "Now when they begin." Now when they begin. Everybody say, "When they begin." Now when they began to do what? To sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes. See, when they begin to do something, then the Lord did something. When they begin to sing and praise, then the Lord say, "Well, I don't know why God hasn't done anything in my situation yet." He's waiting on you to begin to sing and praise. And then he's going to set ambushes against the enemy. He's waiting on you to begin to sing and to praise. He's waiting on us to begin to sing and to praise. For then it will bring him on the scene. And then he will set ambushes against the enemy. So, well, that's just too simple. Well, yeah, God didn't make it complicated. He didn't make it hard. I know it sounds simple. I know you've heard it before. But see, it's being a doer of the word that puts us over. Not just to hear. Well, I've heard that. Well, that's fine. But that hearing, it's not going to give you victory. Doing it. doing it is what's going to give us victory. Are you doing this? You can do this. You can do this. You know, those things you see, those where people are doing all these crazy things. They say, don't try this at home. I'm telling you, try this at home. Try that. Do try this at home. Do try this at home. Do this at home. Do this in your car. Do this at home. Yes, do it when you come to church, but do it at home. Amen. Praise Him. When you don't know what to do, when you're in a situation where you don't know what to do, praise God. Just praise God. Just get alone, and the louder the better. The louder the better. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says that it's not in our notes that I gave to Grayson. So, but I'm going to read you that because you need to see that. So I need to get in the. All right. That's in here. All right. Verse 19 says, then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Loud and high. Amen. You say, well, God's not hard of hearing. No, He's not, but He's not nervous either, somebody said. Amen. You need to say it to blast the doubt out of your own mind that's trying to cover and to blast the fear that's trying to come into your heart. The louder you praise God. Now, sometimes you're in a situation where you can't. I understand that. But sometimes it's necessary. To just praise Him loud, to open, to lift your voice and praise Him out loud.
Yes.
Loud. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. So they did that. They praised God. And when they began, let's finish verse 22 again. When they began to sing and to praise, we can get that one back up there. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. The enemy was defeated. The enemy was defeated. So when the children of Judah didn't know what to do, God showed them. God gave them a plan. And when they obeyed that plan, the enemy was defeated. Amen? Glory to God. Let me give you a few more verses here as we wrap this up today. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Then Jeremiah 33:3. He says this, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Amen. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you what?
Great
and mighty things which you do not know.
Amen.
All right, so this applies here, right?
Amen.
What to do when you don't know what to do? God says, call to me, and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So point number six is this. And Reed, you can go ahead and come on back up if you would. Point number six is this. Pray expecting God to answer and show you what to do.
Amen.
Pray expecting God to answer and show you what to do. That's what he says here. He says, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you.
Amen.
I'll show you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Things that you don't currently know, God says, I want to show you.
Yeah.
So when you don't know what to do, when you're in a position where you don't know, God says, I don't want you staying in a position of not knowing. I want to show you.
That's right.
I want to show you.
Amen.
I want to show you the things that you don't know.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
In the margin of my Bible, where it says the word, it says great and mighty things, the word mighty there in the margin of my Bible, the word is inaccessible. Inaccessible. So God says, call to me and I'll answer you and I want to show you things that are otherwise inaccessible. In other words, there are some things that the only way we can access them is through prayer. It's through calling on God. Otherwise, you'll never touch it. Otherwise, you'll never experience it. Otherwise, you'll never benefit from it. Because there are things that are otherwise inaccessible except through prayer. Call to me and I'll answer you. And I'll show you things that are great and things that are otherwise inaccessible that you didn't know, that you need to know, that I want you to know. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, you say, yeah, that sounds good, Pastor, but I don't even know what to pray for. When I don't know what to do, I mean, where do you start? I mean, I don't even know what to pray. I'm so glad you brought that up. Have I got a verse for you? Romans 8:26. It fits right in here with what we just read, where God says, I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Look at what he said. Look what Paul says here in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know. We do not know. So here's another thing, what to do when you don't know what to do. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So you ever been there? You might be there now. Oh, well, I don't know what to pray for as I ought. Well, that's when you can turn to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me pray. I don't know what to pray for as I ought. He says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Say, how does that happen? How does he help us? Well, that's when that happens as you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the initial evidence of that is Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues.
Amen.
But speaking with other tongues is not just the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking with other tongues is a great tool and a great benefit in prayer. Where Paul said later, I will pray with the Spirit. That's something that you can do as an act of your will. I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. He said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. What is the outcome then, he says in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. That means praying in tongues. And he chooses to do that. Amen? So he says here, put verse 26 back up there, Grayson, if you would. So he says he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There is an element of prayer. It's called groaning in the Spirit. And Paul talked about travailing in birth in prayer for the Galatians till Christ is formed in you. That's that groaning is talked about there. And there's a few other scriptures that talk about it. But Dad Hagin told us about a man he knew personally. That was his senior, that was PC. We call Brother Hagin Dad Hagin because he was like a spiritual father to many, to thousands. But then he had a spiritual father, PC Nelson, and they said, we young ministers called him Dad Nelson. And Mr. Nelson was a Baptist minister back in the early 1900s, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit and came over into the full gospel circles. And he was highly educated. He could read and write 32 languages.
Wow.
Brother Hagin said, that's got me beat by 32. He could read and write 32 languages. He was a linguistics expert for the government, for the military in World War I. They used him for translation and interpretation. And he was, of course, he was proficient in Greek. And so Dad Nelson would they'd be in meetings, and he'd be reading straight out of the Greek, his Greek New Testament.
Wow.
And he got to this verse one day with those young ministers, and he said, this literally means which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. He said, so boys, he said, this would also include praying in other tongues. Yes, it means groaning, but it also encompasses praying with other tongues. The Spirit helps us. He makes intercession. So as we pray in other tongues, as we pray in the Spirit, we're praying out the will of God. In fact, verse 27 of Romans 8 says that. Verse 27 says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So as we're praying in tongues, we're praying out the perfect will of God. Now, let's look at another verse. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, Paul says this, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries.
Amen.
What's a mystery? A mystery is something that you don't know, right?
Yes.
A mystery is something that you don't understand, right?
Yes.
But when you're praying in tongues, you're praying out that which your mind does not understand.
Yes.
I don't know what to pray for. Begin to pray in other tongues. You're praying out the perfect will of God over your situation. Even though your mind can't get a hold of it and grasp it, out of your spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you're praying out the perfect will of God. That's why the devil hates it. That's why the devil fights it. That's why the devil tries to keep you from praying in tongues. He knows that when we do that, we're tapping into something so wonderful and powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So point number 7 is this. Pray out your answer by praying in tongues. Pray out your answer by praying in tongues. Hallelujah. See, by praying in tongues, you're asking God to do things that your mind doesn't even know needs to be done about your situation. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let's go back to Romans 8. So we read Romans 8:26. This is Romans 8:27. Everybody knows the next verse. What is it? Romans 8:28, right? Fire that one up there, Grayson. Romans 8, we got that? Did I give you that? Boom. There we are. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We've always looked at this as a standalone verse. Like this pause is shooting out random thoughts and, oh, all things work together for good. No, he wrote that in context with what he just said in verse 26 and verse 27.
Amen.
He didn't have God, the Holy Spirit didn't give him a template for the book of Romans. And he's got a blank spot there for verse 28. What can I put here in verse 28? I know, this will be a nice phrase. People are going to put it on their walls. People are going to make signs out of it and put bumper stickers. And this would be great. All things work together for good to those who love God. No. He wrote that. He made that statement in context with what he just said. We don't know for what to pray for as we ought. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. When we pray in other tongues, we're praying out the perfect will of God. And we know. And we know when we do that, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, Amen. To those who are called according to His purpose. So if we yield to Him, if we yield to the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit, we're praying out the perfect will of God, even though we don't have understanding of it in our minds. And then this comes into effect. Then we can trust God. I don't know in my mind. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. But I've prayed it out in other tongues. And I know that God is working all things together for my good.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. So pray out your answer. Point number 7 again. Pray out your answer by praying in tongues. Amen. And then oftentimes, too, as you do that, understanding will begin to come. After you pray it out, then understanding will begin to come.
Amen.
Praise God. Then my last point is this. Number 8, follow the peace of God. Follow the peace of God. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Well, that first phrase or that first statement, let the peace of God rule in your heart. When you don't know what to do, as you contemplate your options, which choice brings you peace? Follow after peace. Follow after peace. God, that's how God leads us. He leads us by peace. He says, let that peace rule in your heart. Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified, I like how it reads here. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Look at this statement. Act as an umpire continually in your heart. What does an umpire do? He calls balls and strikes, right? It's called safe or out. Right? In a ball game. All right? And so we're to let peace be that umpire. Peace is to act as an umpire in our heart. If a thought, a decision, a choice comes our way, filter that through the umpire of the peace of God. Safe. Or, you're out of here. We're not going that way. We're not doing that. You're out. That doesn't give me peace. That doesn't produce peace. As I consider, as I contemplate that decision, that choice, that course, no peace there. Okay, yeah, there's peace here. Safe.
Amen.
Peace. Amen? All right. Let the peace of God, the peace which comes from Christ, rule and act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. God's given us a plan,
amen,
beloved. Yeah, we face situations. Well, you will, you have, and you will face situations where at the moment when that hits you, you won't know what to do. But if we'll follow what the Word of God tells us, what we've looked at today, if we'll follow these principles, when we don't know what to do, God will lead us into victory.
Amen.
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 Amen. Every time.
Every time.
Every time. Every time. Praise God. Let's stand up and worship Him. Hallelujah. And if you're filled with the Spirit, just begin to pray, and you pray in tongues, just begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and begin to pray in other tongues right now. Kumre sivikiti shidele bolberon da dabad lemani. Hallelujah. Lokalaman babaran diadadamasas kofare bashti dige baba malakaya. Abarevesia da dalavar la kumre mingandande levesi mikombre velavenda de bochtimande. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, never spoken in tongues, I want to pray for you because this is something that's available to all of God's children. God wouldn't just give, you know, just pick and choose and give that to a few people. This great resource that we've talked about today, God wants this available to every one of His children. To be filled with the Spirit. Peter said in Acts 2, after they were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he said, if you'll repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, then you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you.
Yes.
And it's for your children.
Yes.
And it's for all who are far off. Yes. As many as the Lord our God will call.
Lord,
well, I found myself in that verse that day, one day. All who are far off.
Yeah.
I was afar off in distance and time. But I thought, hey, I qualify.
Yeah.
I qualify to receive this gift, to be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Praise God. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, would you just come right? I'm not going to go through the steps. Close your eyes. Raise your hand. Okay. Just come on down. If you're here and you'd say, I've never been filled with the Spirit, spoken in tongues, but I want to be filled.
Hallelujah.
I want to pray for you right now. And God's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit just like He did me, just like He did all these people that are praying in tongues right now. He's no respecter of persons. If He could do it for this little Baptist boy, He could do it for you. Hallelujah.